Now, back to the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. You can also go to our website, TennesseeStar.com. That's TennesseeStar.com. Go to our Facebook page, Tennessee Star, where you link you up to, you'll link up to the stories that we talk about each day. And again, what do we have, like 21 stories today?
We have 21 new original stories. They're all great at the TennesseeStar.com, so people be happy to go and take a look
at
that.
And what do you pay? What do you pay for that?
Nothing. It's free.
Zip, zero, nada.
You don't have to subscribe. You don't have to pay 99 cents a month like some other publications failing.
Yeah, we're like capitalist free market guys. How does this work?
Yeah. Advertisers. Advertisers want people to read the Tennessee Star for free, and the way it works is if you like the Tennessee Star, go to the advertiser.
Support the advertisers. And by the way, if you're trying to reach, I don't know, a million people a month in Tennessee, if you're trying to reach people who have money, who can buy stuff and buy your services, this is the place
to be. This is the place to be.
The best place to let us know you want to be a part of it, just send us an email.
Hey, we are joined now by our good friend and my former Breitbart colleague, Neil McCabe, who is a Washington reporter for One America News Network. Neil, are you snowed in up there?
Yeah, it's really amazing what snow does to our nation's capital. I'm just glad the Russians never came up with a freezing rainstorm.
Neil, what is the latest official word?
By the way, if you ever questioned whether Washington, D.C. is a southern city or a northern city, it's when the snow hits, right, McCabe? It's like that's when you know it's truly a southern city.
Oh, boy. Neil, what's the latest official word on the condition of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Right now, the Supreme Court has said that she is resting at home and she has no remaining cancer. And she's able to participate in sort of the work of the Supreme Court because she's been given the transcripts of the oral arguments. She has clerks, obviously, shuttling back and forth. All of these justices have an army of clerks who sort of do their research for them. So she's able to sort of conduct things. And a lot of people, when they hear about the Supreme Court voting 5-4, there's no roll call. Where people just sort of raise their hand. What you're actually doing is, typically there's, there are two opinions on each decision, and then you're just signing on to one of those two decisions. So, you don't have to be in the room to sort of vote. And so we saw that with the Planned Parenthood decision that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's the last vote she took, or the last decision that she was involved in, the major one. And, she just sort of signed off on it. And so when these decisions come out, you'll see that she's still there participating. And even if she doesn't go to oral arguments, she still can vote. So that's pretty much where it stands right now.
Neil, back in the day of the old Soviet Politburo, you had Kremlin watchers that, would notice that, senior officials, they disappeared. They hadn't been seen publicly. Has anybody seen her publicly?
Well, no. There is a video I've seen online of her being sort of tooled around in a wheelchair. That's from December. There were rumors that she had actually returned to Memorial Sloan Kittery in New York and that she was no longer in Washington. And so this is Steve, is exactly where you're at. It's like people are going to go to the house and see if the lights are on in the bedroom. She doesn't have to be at the Supreme Court to be a member, an active participant in the Supreme Court, but there are obvious questions about her health. You'll remember that the Katie Turr, the reporter for MSNBC and the anchor for MSNBC, she tweeted out innocently enough, "Hey, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is on my plane," and that was the shuttle going from D.C. to New York. Of course, no one knew that she was going to New York. And then the next day, December 21st, the Supreme Court put out a statement saying that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had actually been in New York to have two cancerous growths removed from one of her lungs. And this has sort of put us in sort of this new sort of stage of where we're at now. And if you dial back to November 8th is when the Supreme Court put out the statement that she had fallen on the night before, so it would be November 7th. So she fell in her office, cracked 3 ribs, and in the process of treating that, those ribs and doing routine tests, they discovered that there were there was some cancer in one of her lungs. Now, the Supreme Court put out that statement November 8th where they said, you know, updates would be made as new news became available. But, you know, it wasn't until, you know, December 21st that they put out the next statement. And in that statement, you know, they said, you know, that these spots were found in November. But the Supreme Court never, in that space between November 8th and December 21st, the Supreme Court never said, oh, by the way, she's being treated for cancer, this person with a lifetime appointment, you know?
Well, and the Supreme Court's never been known for its, you know, blatant transparency.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not unusual that they would be somewhat secretive. What I think concerns me more, Neil, is that you've got this claim, oh, she's better now, no cancer. This is like her third or fourth bout with cancer. And but for, I guess, the fall with the ribs, they wouldn't have discovered it. You know, when you have – and again, nobody wishes, you know, this woman ill. Nobody wishes this woman anything but a full recovery. But at the same time, we have, I think, a right as citizens to know whether she has the capacity to serve in the position she's serving with the health complications she has. And there are impacts. You know, if she has to be going in for follow-up chemo, those things do affect your capacity to do your job.
Right. I think the first thing is, you know, my mother passed away with multiple melanoma, and to watch cancer take her down was a brutal thing. There isn't anyone who hears my voice who doesn't know someone who has been in a battle with cancer or is currently waging a battle with cancer. And people win that battle, and we hope that she wins this battle. There's also a case where this is a constitutional officer, and these are decisions that affect hundreds of millions of Americans. And, you know, the people have a right to know what's going on. Certainly what the Supreme Court has said on the public record just is impossible to sort of square that circle.
Yeah.
Because they said there's no cancer found anywhere else. Well, there was cancer found in her lungs. Well, she isn't a lung cancer patient, so if she never had lung cancer, right, you mentioned the two other battles with cancer she had before were not lung cancer. So if she doesn't have lung cancer and they found cancer in her lungs, that means the cancer came from somewhere else. And because they were malignant, which means cancerous, they were removed. If they weren't malignant, typically you would just watch them and to see what's happening. But again, you know, they're not telling us, you know, what's going on.
Course, and it has to be somewhat serious if you're going to put, an 86-year-old woman under anesthesia and cut stuff out. That is, you know, again, as you're often told at that age, you know, the surgery may kill you. So it is a serious thing when you start, you know, putting people under anesthesia and putting them into surgery at that age.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it also, you know, there are details about this cancer that we just don't know. For instance, you know, it's more than one, that's a sign that it's metastasizing from somewhere else. Also, you know, they said it was in the lung, but if it was upper lung, that's a sign of metastasizing. If it's in the lower of middle lung, that's a sign that it's not metastasizing from somewhere else. And so these are things that they could have said a month ago and let us know exactly what we're in for. But unfortunately, because of this lack of transparency, we're going to have to go through this macabre sort of health watch.
Is she relying on Obamacare, which she ruled in favor of as a Supreme Court justice, or is she getting the best quality care?
Oh, she's getting, I believe me. They're pumping her through. They're pumping her with all the vitamins and getting plenty of sun. And, you know, because the other thing is, you know, she's very lethal in these arguments. You know, she had a 25-year streak where she never missed legal arguments, and so today she'll miss her fifth in a row, right? Because there were three last week, and there'll be three this week that she'll miss. And
yeah, but they're only Supreme Court decisions. It's not like they're important things.
But, you know, she used to cut these conservative lawyers to ribbons. Of course, these guys are very nervous and everything else. And then if you listen to these tapes or read the transcripts, when the liberal lawyer is in trouble, she'll, like, sort of help them
out.
Help
them out, yeah.
She was a very active participant in these oral arguments because each side gets 30 minutes. And so on that side, sort of the left is sort of suffering because, Sotomayor, Breyer, and Kagan are good, but they're not lethal the way Bader Ginsburg was. On the other side, you know, I think conservatives have to wonder, you know, if this is affecting her mental capacity.
Exactly. Hey, Neil, we're about to hit a hard break. Can you hang over with us for the next segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Terrific.
You'll get the same pay you get. You know, we pay you the same we charge at the Tennessee Star.
You're listening to the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy. Back with Neil McCabe for One America News Network after this break.
And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. As always, go to TennesseeStar.com. And I don't want there to be an FBI investigation or a leakage, so let me just go ahead and point out that I did drink a White Russian about 15 years ago. And just I want to go ahead and out myself before somebody from the New York Times outs that I'm possibly a Russian agent because of that poor drink choice. You know,
the FBI will soon be investigating that, Steve. Yeah. We're talking with our good friend, very good friend, Neil McCabe, One America News Network, Washington reporter. We'll want to wrap up a couple questions about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then let's get to the shutdown, the federal government partial shutdown. Is there a movement in Washington right now anticipating that Justice Ginsburg will need to be replaced?
Yeah, I mean, the White House signaled last week that it's sort of reaching out to conservative leaders here to sort of say, hey, this thing is coming up, and you know, of course, everybody's sort of bracing for, you know, what it could be like. About a week or so ago, Lindsey Graham, the new chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, changed the picture on his Twitter handle to be a picture of him and Brett Kavanaugh. And, of course, many conservatives remember that sort of Lindsey Graham just sort of jumped out of his shoes and just started screaming like a maniac at the Democrats right at the height of that confirmation battle. And so I think a lot of conservatives have become, you know, there are times when you become wary of Lindsey Graham over the years, but certainly his performance during the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh should give people heart that he is on board and on duty.
That was sort of a Lindsey Graham coming out party in terms of conservative viewpoint.
Easy.
Hey, Neil. So
in a positive way. I like Lindsey 2.0.
Neil, yeah, let me just follow up one last Ginsburg question, and then we'll get to the partial shutdown. So you mentioned something very interesting that, you know, during the oral arguments, which she's now missing, two consecutive weeks she's missing, for 25 years, she was there basically almost, assisting, shall we say, liberal attorneys in their arguments and attacking or cutting up the conservative attorneys in their argument. Now, as that drags on, is that going to make it more difficult for the liberal attorneys to present their case?
It's going to be difficult for them, and it also has a way of shaping how these opinions are written at the end, because, you know, if you can tie one of these lawyers in knots and basically, you know, show the absurdity of his rhetoric, it's hard for one of the justices to then say, this is why I'm voting for this. You know, obviously there's a lot of other factors involved, but, you know, certainly, you know, it's a very important part of the process, and it's, you know, the capstone for a lot of guys. You know, the capstone of their career is the one time they argued before the Supreme Court. And, of course, you know, Scalia was certainly a lion on the other side for the right. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't the only one who was sort of doing this sort of block and tackle and attack for her side.
Which is kind of interesting because some of the names that are being bandied about as potential replacements for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think two or maybe three clerked for Justice Scalia. I mean, if you're looking for somebody in the vein of a Justice Scalia, you know, starting with a former law clerk for Justice Scalia might not be a bad piece of DNA.
Yeah, it's a nice stamp to have on your resume. Yeah, absolutely. And you're seeing this whole idea of who you clerked for is really coming to the fore. You know, Anthony Kennedy, of course, has two clerks, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, on the Supreme Court. And, you know, don't forget that Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, twice clerked for Alito, both at the Supreme Court and at the Court of Appeals level.
If you have a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we've got a piece up at TennesseeStar.com talking about the Catholic vote, the Christian vote, and the impact in these, you know, Midwestern states, these Rust Belt states that were critical to Donald Trump winning in 2016, I think he's kind of girding for a fight and would love to have a fight over the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett, a Catholic who's already been attacked by Dianne Feinstein.
Stop, I mean, you're turning me on.
Oh, my God. Go.
Great nomination.
There are conservatives that have a poster of her in their bedroom, kind of like we had Farrah Fawcett when we were kids.
Yeah, I was the most exciting thing for me, you know, was, as you know, doing what we call reportage, is I saw this this car from like ABC 57, this Indiana, this news team from Indiana was in Washington, and I was so convinced that it was her. It was her. We got her.
But there's an argument that Trump held her back and put in Kavanaugh because you've got to, if a Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be the next appointment opportunity, that she would have a little bit more seasoning on the Court of Appeals. She is the perfect pick to replace a woman on the court with a woman. And just, again, dare the Democrats to go after a Catholic woman at a time when you, again, you look at the three battleground states that Trump won, 46 electoral votes shifted with Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. You know, I think Trump is just watering at the mouth for a fight over a confirmation battle where the Democrats declare war on Catholics.
I think it makes a ton of sense. And, you know, Michael will tell you, you know, when we were doing the Breitbart polling in 2016, you know, it was very frustrating to us because, you know, Hillary did very well among Catholics, but it was an unchallenged sort of Catholic support. And as soon, you know, if Trump had worked harder on the Catholic vote, Hillary wouldn't have been as close as she was. It just was sort of lying there unchallenged. And I think that kind of fight over Barrett is absolutely, you know, especially if you look at the comments that Dianne Feinstein made.
Yeah, they were nasty.
Well, and Democrats have been attacking another judicial appointment because of his membership in the Knights of Columbus. So, again, the Democrats are rushing into this fight, and the Republicans have to be going, come on, bring some more.
Yeah, that paramilitary group that specializes in
those knights. Hey, so Neil.
Wait till they start going after 4-foot basketball players participating in the CYO Catholic Youth Organization hoop games.
So, Neil, TikTok goes the electoral clock. And what is the very latest you think that if a vacancy were to occur, given the fact that there's a presidential election in November 2020, what's the very last month that the president would have to be able to actually to nominate another Supreme Court if a vacancy were to occur?
Well, you're going to remember that this whole Biden rule and this idea that you weren't allowed to put somebody on the court, at the end of your term, that only holds if the Senate is from the opposing party. So as long as the Republicans hold the Senate, then they can go, you know, they can go up to January 19th or whatever. I mean, it's like there is no, you know, these sort of rules. It's basically saying, hey, we just don't want somebody from the other side to go on the Supreme Court. That's the rule.
So it could be, you know, summer of 2020 in your view.
Yeah, you got 53 votes.
Well, you know, so basically, if you're looking at timing, you know, you want everything to happen between the State of the Union and Memorial Day is the meat of what happens in Capitol Hill. And you know, the Congress is in session, typically, you know, it's like, yeah, it's year-round, dot, dot, dot. But basically, if it's not done between the State of the Union and Memorial Day, it's not going to get done. And so you could very, you know, often these confirmation fights are held during the summer because the Supreme Court session ends the last Friday of June. So basically, that's a lot, you know, a lot of times people announce their retirements then. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has hired her clerks for next year's session already. I mean, so their mentality and their attitude is that they're moving forward and that she just recovers. But that doesn't always, you know, it doesn't always work out the way you want when you're in one of these battles.
Scalia was fine too. He was hiring clerks too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was the clue. I broke the story that Kennedy was retiring live on One American News. But, you know, one of the clues that I had was that he hadn't hired his clerks for the next session. And usually that's the heads up that somebody is leaving.
You know, as a court watcher, as a lawyer myself, Neil, I thought that Gorsuch moved Kennedy to the right in the last year that he was on the bench. You saw a different set of opinions coming from him. I mean, you look at the Kavanaughs and the Gorsuches, they have had an influence already on the bench by their very presence.
Yeah, and I, because it's very collegial. And, you know, there's a lot of give and take. And when you have somebody who's going to back you up, I think that definitely Alito gave sort of backbone to Scalia and Thomas, who had, you know, who were really just sort of like they were sort of like off on their own little island.
Sure,
maybe
hey,
they
Neil,
can do the same for Justice Roberts.
Yeah. Neil, we have 30 seconds left. Now, tell us, Fox News is kind of moving to the left. Tell us a little bit about One American News Network and what people here who want to get it on their local cable can do.
Yeah, so if you don't have One American News, you need to call your cable provider and tell them that you want balanced, fair, and news, because One American News actually delivers news. It's like the old CNN headline news, where we have an anchor who introduces stories, and you'll get international, you'll get sports, you'll get lifestyle, and you'll get heavy, heavy American politics. But it's not going to be sort of like the tainted bias that you see from the rest of the mainstream media. So One American News is in 35 million homes. We started 5 years ago, and you know, we're growing like crazy. But people can help us grow when they call their cable providers. Now we're on Verizon. On my Verizon Fios, I'm on 117. We're on DirecTV now. Xfinity is in your area, so I don't think...
Great. Neil McCabe, our good friend, here every Tuesday morning at 6:15 a.m. Neil McCabe, thanks for joining us here.
We're back in a moment with a new poll defining what are Americans thinking about this whole border crisis. Is it a crisis? Quinnipiac says, well, we'll tell you in a moment.